give me a wave. So we waved at John. Now I thought, well, golly, Marilyn can't be here either. So I thought, well, I'm going to say hello to Marilyn because she can't come. And she's over in Ashby Pond. So hello, Marilyn. Everybody say hello to Marilyn. Hello, like that. And I thought, well, you know, Betty and Richard can't be here either. It's like, well, Betty and Richard. So everybody say hello to Betty and Richard. Hallelujah. All right. So let's just join them in prayer. Lord, I just thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your word. I thank you that you, who you are, you're our teacher. And you lead us in the way that we should go. You speak to us and you give us understanding. And so we thank you for that in advance. So continue to give us wisdom. Pray you to anoint me, God, just speak out words of the Spirit. And I just pray each heart be open to receive the Spirit and you touch each person deeply with your word that they could be encouraged in these times in which we live. So we give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 Okay, we're going to look at Lamentations. Okay, so Lamentations, I'll give you time to hunt that up. You can find Jeremiah. You can find Jeremiah. Oh, the kids. I didn't release the kids for Sunday school. The kids are released for Sunday school unless they want to stay and hear about Lamentations. Oh, man. Thank you, Drew. I just liked having the kids in here, so I said, have the kids. So kids can go to Sunday school. Thank you. And evidently, none of them want to hear about Lamentations. So anyway. Okay, we're going to be in Lamentations this morning. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 24. We'll start off there. And it says this. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. We have in the book of Lamentations, which is right after the book of Jeremiah, and Jeremiah, many people, they call Jeremiah the weeping prophet, and because he had a tough job, and that he was telling, you know, basically the people of Israel that the whole nation was going to be destroyed, you know, because of their sin, and so he constantly, and so his message wasn't received very well, and so it was like no one was really excited about Jeremiah because they didn't like what he said, and that's the reason he's called the weeping prophet, and he would complain to God, say, God, this is, I mean, in a paraphrase form, he would say, God, this is an awful job. This is a really bad job. And so you see that. Well, after Jeremiah, he also wrote Lamentations, okay, which you can tell by the title, Lamentations. He just continued in the whole book. He's lamenting God. What? This is so hard. But stuck within Lamentation, there's incredible insight, you know, from God and from Jeremiah. And we see this in chapter 3, verse 24, where he says, the Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I will hope in Him. Now, we take, you know, Jeremiah's life and everything and get the feeling of the situation he was in. We get to understand how he felt and understand, you know, the time in which he lived and the difficulties which he lived. And he would complain bitterly to God about it. I mean, because it was bad and the situation he was called to was very hard. And in this oppressive situation, Jeremiah would express that to him. He never denied God. He never said God was wrong. He just said, this is hard. This is really hard. And in that, what he would say is that you would see that Jeremiah, and he comes really clear in chapter 3, where how he could persevere is he set his eyes upon God. And he set his eyes upon the things of the Lord. And so what we see here is that this truth changes our thinking. It's very instructive today. Very instructive today. So we can see, knowing how Jeremiah felt, we can see how it can apply to our life today. And as crazy as things are going on around us now, okay, it's not as bad as is going on with Jeremiah. It was actually worse in his time. So you're in this position, and you're in this position of extreme difficulty. You're in this position, it just seems overwhelming, and you're in a position where things don't seem like they're working out the way you thought they would work out. And sometimes they're just working, it seems like they're working the exact opposite of what you thought. And you can be very, very frustrated. Anybody ever been there? Ever been there? It's just like, God, why? What? And not happening? Why? Well, here's what Jeremiah, that's exactly how Jeremiah felt. Just like you said, yeah. This is how he felt. Well, this is what he said. Okay, before this, I want you to look at Lamentations 3, verse 21. Now, he said, everything's going wrong. And then he says this, Lamentations 3, verse 21. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Okay, what did he do? He called something to mind, and now he has hope. Okay, so what we see here is that Jeremiah has told, God has told Jeremiah, says, listen, this is what's happening. I'm God, I'm the sovereign God, and this is what's happening. And he's calling to mind what God told him. And this is where it comes through. God has spoken to us. He's spoken to us. He's spoken to us through the scripture. You can't be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and say he hasn't spoken to you. To be a believer, you have to have received a word. You have had to receive Christ and the understanding. So, you know, he has spoken to us. And so that's what he's calling. He's, I'm calling to mind. God has spoken to me. And he says, God has revealed to Jeremiah his greatness. Well, God has revealed to us his greatness. His greatness. And so when you look at it from that perspective, we know the truth. We know the truth. We really know the truth. Okay, the whole world's a mess, but we know the truth. We know our salvation, and we know the truth. And because we know the truth, we will call to mind that God has spoken to us, and we're going to trust in what God told us. Why? Because he told us. What do we have to base that he's going to fulfill? Because of our salvation. Because of other things he has done for us. Because of where we're standing. We know he's real. He knows he's real. And so, also we know, because God is God and our salvation, we know he's good. And so it like leads to Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. No matter what, Jeremiah knew, no matter what, we know, Lamentations 3:22, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. We move above the storm. We move above the storm. Because, no, God is good. God is good. His steadfast love never faces. Now, see, that comes with salvation. Knowing he died for us, paid the penalty for our sins, we have a home in heaven. Okay? So that comes with that. But it starts funneling into every aspect of our lives. No, God is good now, today, and we keep calling that to mind, even though when the things around us look incredibly difficult. And we know his love never ceases, just like Jeremiah, and his mercies never come to an end. So you can see Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, that's how he persevered, because he knew the truth. God had spoken to him. God has spoken things to us, and we hold on to what he has spoken to us. And then we trust in God's steadfast love and his mercies didn't ever end. We trust in that because we believe that. And then we are able to step out of the darkness and look into the light of Jesus. So this is the dark. But we move and we said, no, God is shining through this. Jesus is shining through this. Jesus is everlasting. Jesus is still speaking. And so we hold on to that light that Jesus gives us. So we're able to step out of that darkness and hold on to that light. All right? But that light, being able to step into it, is because we have received him as Savior. So we know that. So we're in the light. We know that. And we build on that. And our focus is on him. And so we continue to recall that in these terrible situations. And we have that picture. That's what Jeremiah did. I mean, the situation didn't change. But he said, I know who you are. And there I can walk through this light because of you. I can walk through this darkness because of your light. And so we see him saying that. And then it's because we know. Why do we do that? We know Lamentations 3:23. Just like Jeremiah knew, we know. They meaning steadfast love and mercies, are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Now just think, that's what Jeremiah did. Man, this has been a bad day. And we're going into a bad night. And God, he's just crying out. But I know that your steadfast love and mercies are new every morning. Doesn't it? It's going to have a retake. In the morning, it's a retake. It's going, his love and his, it's new every morning. Every morning. Jeremiah says, I know, so I can go through the day because I'm going to have God's steadfast love and I'm going to have his mercies that are new, and some Bibles say are renewed every morning. This time is also good to like read your word, read the Bible in the morning, okay? You can prepare for the day like that. And then he says that, great is your faithfulness. How in this world can we stand, and we're going to move with confidence. We'll move in confidence in, because we look at God and say, great is your faithfulness. Not our faithfulness, his faithfulness. And we move because he is faithful. We move because he's going to lead us. We move because he knows we're here. We're going to move because he probably put us here. I'm going to say probably he did put us here. You know. And so we keep moving in his faithfulness. And this is new every morning. You know, it's just, you know, end of the day. You know, I used up everything God's got to give. I mean, I just sucked him dry. You know, he's done. We're finished. And like, no, you know, no, going to replenish it next morning. We'll start all over. And so that's why, so you see that, you see that that's what Jeremiah's doing. So hope knows that every morning God pours out his fresh love and mercy on us. And with Jeremiah, this truth impacts every area of his life, our emotions, and our relationships. Every area, it impacts it. What? God's faithfulness. It impacts every area. Well, as it does this, we receive this refreshing every morning because our heart and mind are set on God. Therefore, we're able to receive. You see, God's pouring out, but we have to have our heart set on him to receive what he is saying. We look to God. Now listen to this. We look to God because he's our portion. He's our portion. Look at the world, and the world has their portion in the world. Okay? And a lot of people in the world really upset about now. Because what they have their portion in is falling apart. And therefore their portion's falling apart. And so their stability is really shaken because of what's happening. But for those who trust Christ and what Jeremiah, and you go back to Jeremiah, his city and his world was going to be absolutely leveled, devastated. And God told him up front. And also go, and he told him, go tell everybody else. You know, it's one thing, say, okay, God, I'm glad you told me that. But he says, now go tell everybody else. You know, well, they weren't happy to hear him coming, you know. And it's like, well, but his portion was the Lord. Therefore, his security was the Lord. That's his portion. In life, the world wasn't his portion, and so it's so that's how he looked at the world. Is God is his portion, and when our portion is God, and our portion is God alone. God alone. Okay. Therefore, we declare the verse we opened up with. Therefore, we declare. Look at Lamentations 3:24, and this is the flow how we got the Lamentations 3:24. Jeremiah said, we say, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, okay, that word's really important, you know, therefore. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, my total being. The Lord is my, therefore, I will hope in him. See, if the Lord is your portion and he is everything, you'll hope in him. If your portion is your job, then that's what you hope in. Therefore, your job falls apart. Therefore, you get really unstable because that's your portion, you know. Or the whole economy down just falls apart and that's your portion. Then you get really shaken because that's your portion. But if the Lord is your portion, okay, therefore, I hope in him. Losing my job? Wow, God must have a really big one coming up. You know, the economy's falling apart. Wow, the Lord must be doing something in the world. I wonder what assignment, His special assignment He's given me. Because I know the Lord is doing something. There's no fear. There's no frustration. Why? Because the Lord is our portion. The Lord is my portion, says the Lord. Therefore, I will hope in Him. So it's like, hey, I want you to hope in me. So I'm going to take away your job. Okay, God, I'm hoping in you. You know, it's like, I want you to hope in me. So I'm going to just crash the whole. Okay, God, I'm hoping in you. See, it's all a good thing. It's all a good thing for believers. But it really tests one to say, where is your portion? Where is your portion? Where have you set your heart? And that's what's going to happen when things fall apart. And right here within Jeremiah, his world literally was falling apart. His city would be literally devastated. And he knew that. He says, but the Lord's my portion, therefore I hope in Him. There's a verse and it talks about in Jeremiah when the Babylonians come in and they destroy Jerusalem. And they destroyed, they knew how to destroy stuff. You know, sometimes we don't know really how to destroy. They knew how to destroy stuff. I mean, they leveled it. And the leader of the Babylonian army says, when you go into Jerusalem and you destroy everything, we're going to kill everybody. Find Jeremiah and bring him to him. Find Jeremiah and bring him to us. We're going to make sure he's not hurt. That's what he said. Jeremiah goes, really? You know, see, it was... Little did he know that that was going to happen. But it is a good picture that he said, no, the Lord is our portion. And we're going, now we can say the Lord's our portion, but we're going to determine whether the Lord's our portion when everything falls apart. It's going to be obvious. It's going to be real obvious. And this is what the Lord, this is the lesson he's teaching us. And like Jeremiah, we want to say the Lord is our portion, and our hope's not in the world. Our hope is in the Lord. We're not wrapped up with the world's goods, okay? The Lord is our portion and security. And all through Scripture, what Jesus said, everybody, it says the same thing. It says the same thing. Well, God, and I appreciate it. You give, and the Lord gives back, and He promises abundance, you know. But you read through the Scripture, and you look at historical Christian history, they have some bad times. They have some bad times. And so what you say, no, it's not the abundance I give you. It's when you determine, I am your portion no matter what. That's the key, and the Scripture speaks to that. And so that's where we set the heart. If He gives us abundance, fine. If He doesn't, fine. And Paul said that. He says, I know how to be in abundance, and I know how to be in need. You know, because his trust on the Lord. Whatever. Whatever. And so that is the lesson. So that helps us to learn as we go through this world. And that's what was being taught with Jeremiah. And his comment, again, the Lord is my portion. What do I want? Now, here's some other verses which use that word portion. It's interesting. I'll say the same thing, but in a little different way. Like, the Lord is our portion and our security. Look at Psalm 16:5. Just look at Psalm 16:5. Give you time to turn there. Psalm 16:5. And it says this. The Lord is my chosen portion. You hold me secure. Now you think about that. The Lord is my chosen portion. Now you hold me secure. Okay? And it's like, my job is my chosen portion, and it holds me secure. It's where your heart and everything is within. You know? Then that job folds, then there's nothing holding you secure. But if the Lord is our portion, we're held secure no matter what our job is, whether we have one or we don't have one or anything, because our portion is the Lord, and He holds us secure, and we have an ability to hear Him and how He's guiding us. The economy blows up. Well, the Lord is my portion, not the economy. Since the Lord is my portion, the Lord holds me secure in this crazy economy. You see what I'm saying? And that's what I'm saying. So it's the portion. So it really makes a difference what we believe and how we act is the Lord is our portion. So we really are. Now, that means we really do believe in God. We really do believe that God's a sovereign. And we really do believe God acts. And we really do believe God loves us and He'll take care of us. Now, if we don't believe that, we are just running around circles, scared to death, like everybody else. See? And God said, no, you don't have to be there. I'm your portion. He's real. He's real. He's our portion. Now, here's another one. The Lord is our portion, you know, and strength. He's our security, but He's also our strength. This verse is just, these two verses in Psalms are just really fascinating. Psalm 73, verse 25 through 26. Psalm 75, verse 25 through 26. Now, just listen to this. The psalmist says, whom have I in heaven but you? Okay, the eyes up here for the Lord. He said, whom have I in heaven but you? It's just God. You know, there's nothing else to worship. Whom do I have in heaven? Whom do I have in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. Oh, how many of us can say that? Lord, all I desire is you. It's all you. You know, it's hard to get upset when the whole world falls apart and the only thing you desire is Jesus. You see what I'm saying? Because our desire, he said, there's nothing else I desire besides you. Verse 26, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. But do you see what it's saying here? God is reaching down and pulling us out of this world to look and lock on Him, be in step with Him, and then let Him take care of the world, and then we listen and move with Him in absolute total security. Nothing upsets us. Now, that's what that's saying. And you think, wow, that's hard to achieve. And, you know, I mean, it's based on our own relationship with God. Now, when I shared last week and I shared about the people that ministered to me, there's only one in that group. Now, I don't, not to say anything against any of the rest of it, there's only one in that group that I can say did that. You guess? Pastor Miss Milligan. Pastor Miss Milligan. Nothing bothered him. Nothing bothered him. It just didn't bother him. It was like, oh, yeah, what an opportunity. Oh, wow, Genesis, aren't you excited? I never was excited when they asked me if I was excited. I never was, you know. And it's like, you know, my immediate response, I didn't say it, but my immediate response, he's like, you don't understand the problem. That's what I tell God that too. I tell anybody, you just don't understand that. God, you don't know what's going on here. See, and But you see where these verses, this is what God's calling us to, a realization that is otherworldly. And I share with they had a realization that is otherworldly, as it did to other people, you know. But to whom I have in heaven but you, and there's nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion, forever. Then it goes on, there's another one, Psalms 142, verse 5. Psalms 142, verse 5 says, the Lord is our portion, and He's our protection. And here you go, it says, Psalms 142, verse 5, I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. What's a refuge? You hide in that refuge, you're protected, you are my hiding place. There's, you know, that's the, even another psalm. You are my hiding place. You know, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Now you can see with God is our portion. I mean, it's easy to say, okay, until everything falls apart, you know, it's easy to say. But what we have with God is our portion, and believing it, our human and worldview changes. Changes. Our view, our human and world, it just totally changes. Because all of a sudden, as God is our portion, it's like, what is the Lord doing? What is God doing? How is He moving in this situation? See, our thinking totally changes by that, but believing in that. And again, it's real easy to say when everything is just going along smooth. You know, I got a raise. The Lord is my portion. Hallelujah. My kids got straight A's. The Lord is my portion. It's like, but when all health breaks loose, it's like, Lord, geez, I don't know how we're going to put food on the table. It doesn't roll off your tongue so easy. Oh, the Lord is my portion. He will provide. He will provide. I'm thinking about that. It just comes to mind. Not in my notes. So it's always dangerous to share it. But it like the Lord is my, and I love this account, and it's famous, most people, but George Mueller, and he started an orphanage. And the reason he started an orphanage was to prove that God answered prayers. Now, that's actually written. You know, I said, oh, I started an orphanage. I love these kids. I don't take care of them, which I'm sure is true. But he said he started that orphanage to prove that God would provide and he would answer prayers. And he did, and he had that. Look, his head. You ought to read his biography. George Mueller and the things that he, how he prayed. And so one time they got him all. They didn't have any milk. They had, now, we're talking about the 1800s. You couldn't go to 7-Eleven, bring a quart. You didn't have any milk. And you couldn't keep it cold. And so they said, we don't have any food. We don't have any milk. He said, go ahead and set all the kids, set the places, get the everything ready. And just they said, but we don't have anything to feed them. We don't have any milk to put on the stuff. He said, just said, I prayed. The Lord told me he's going to provide. So he set up the table. All the kids sitting there. And they said, pray, a guy comes up, knocks on the door, and he's in the milk truck, a milk wagon pulled by a horse, okay? So he broke down, and he came in. He said, look, all this milk's going to spoil. They have refrigeration. I mean, all this milk's going to spoil. We're going to look, do you have any use for it? He said, matter of fact, we do. See, that's when God's your portion. That's when God's your portion. See, and it's not until you don't have any milk that the milk truck breaks down in front of your door. I mean, and it's so, and it's a challenge. You know, as I'm saying, it's a challenge. I'm challenged by this whole thing. But he's telling us this. And by the way, it's not just Jeremiah. It's in Psalms. God tells us this all through Scripture. And you'll read these scriptures if you're like me. And you, God, how does that happen? He said, I'll show you. You know, okay, I want to be, you know, on the beach, reading the Bible, you know, drinking something cool, enjoying. Now you tell me how this works. But hey, he never does that to me. You know, he did. It's like I'm in it, and I'm up to my nose. I think I'm really going to die. I mean, this is it. He says, now I'll show you if you holler out to me, if you call out to me. And I've had experiences like that, and I'm sure you have too. And then so what I see here, since we think, when we really believe the Lord is our portion, our whole thought process changes. Now, this is just terribly convicting. So I'll tell you, it's more convicting to me than it is you. So I'm not picking on anybody. I'm picking on myself, all right? And here it is. It says, our confidence will be in proportion to how much we believe God is our portion. So I'm convicted, like all, just convicted. My confidence in walking with God is in proportion to how much I believe that God is my portion. See what I'm saying? Every time, oh my God, we're going to die. You know, well, Wallace, no. You're just communicating to everybody that you don't think I'm your portion. That's all that's doing, you know, which I do routinely. But you see what that's saying. And so when we see God as our portion and sovereign in her life, and here you hear say, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. When we see God as our portion and our sovereign in our life, we confidently wait for the Lord in all matters. Why will we wait? Because he's our portion. And we know when the time comes, he's going to bring what we need. And we wait. But we wait with confidence. We wait with confidence, all right? Now, in the next few verses here, I'm going to talk about in proportion, but how that flows over in waiting. Because the scripture is full about wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord. Wait. But there's really some wisdom and lessons in waiting and what he means. And I want to look at one here in words. We'll go back to Lamentations, where he said, Lord is my portion, therefore, you know, I wait on him. So look at Lamentations, verse 25 and 26. And like Jeremiah said, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will hope in him, believe in him. All right. Then it goes on to say in Lamentations chapter 3, 25 through 26. And listen to this. The Lord, now he's just the flow. Therefore, I will hope in him. He is my portion, so therefore I'll hope in him. And here's, and that's the flow. And it says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Now, if you see there in that verse, you got good and wait, you know. This and the last one, wait on the Lord quietly. You know, that's, don't complain so much as you wait. That's what that. But what's here, now here's something fascinating in this section. The word good, okay, and we have the English word good, okay, so good. We've kind of got that. But this good is a little deeper good than our good, okay? So the word good in the Old Testament, this particular word means, it is expressing God's will and purpose. Like I said, that's good. That's God's will and purpose. So in English, we go, wow, that's really good, or something like that. So when that good, so that's kind of a powerful word there, and it's expressing God's will and purpose. Kind of a bigger, you know, depth to that word. Therefore, when we see God is good, we will wait for his will and purpose, right? Because he said he's good, that his will and purpose is good, so we wait. So when we recognize him as good, that that's his will and purpose, we wait. Problem is, we don't know if it's good. We don't know if it's his will. We don't know if it's his purpose, and we have trouble waiting. But if we're convinced that he said it and he is good, it is his will and it is his purpose, if we really believe that, well, we just naturally wait, right? If we knew that. Then so when you look at this, this means that we will, if we believe this is good, okay, the Lord is good, his will and purpose is good, this means that we will accept God's time and will. I believe God's good. Then you'll accept his time and will. This also means that our faith will be expressed by waiting in quiet expectation. Right? He said this is good. I believe this is his will and his purpose. Because I believe for that, I will wait in quiet expectation because I know he'll do it because it's his will and purpose. That's why we wait. See, that's because we believe this is his will and purpose. Oh, I just can't wait. What's your issue? I don't believe this was his will and purpose. You know? Or he is just really, really slow. Then you're saying, I don't believe in his timing either. You see what I'm saying? And so it's like, oh my gosh. So I mean, Jeremiah is telling us all this in his mess. I mean, he's telling us this is what he's coming to grips with to get through his mess. But we can see that he's telling this. And so when we wait for him, and there's, when we wait for him because this is his will and his purpose and we believe it, therefore we wait quietly in expectation, and at the same time, he's teaching us discipline. Oh, shucks. He's teaching us discipline so we'll hear and walk with him, not just going off do what we want to do. There's a discipline he's teaching, which is, I don't have time to get into other scriptures, but Hebrews comes to mind when it talks about discipline. I discipline my people. I'm teaching you to know my will and my purpose and wait on me. Wait on me. Now, So we wait because we have a living hope, and that living hope is because we have a trust in a living God whose promises will be fulfilled. Now, and I know as I read this, it's like, golly, that's a lot. But really, when you cut it down to the simplicity of it, when you put God is my portion, then he's everything. There's for my hope, and that's what I see, and that's what directs me. And then when it says he is good, meaning his purpose and his will and his timing are good. It's good. There's purpose and his timing, you know, and his will is good. So we say that's good. Then we'll wait because it's good, because we know that. And we wait, and because we know it's good, we wait in faith. And faith means we believe him. So it's comes back to, it's, if you tie it all together, it's coming together like, God is my portion, and I'm walking with him. And so you can see that this takes it to another level. Oh, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. You know, love him with all your heart. Okay, got it. You know, no, it keeps going deeper, and he starts telling us things like this. And when we start grabbing things like this, all of a sudden he can do supernatural miracles through us. Now, can you understand why Pastor Milliken would say, I said, tell him, you wouldn't believe what's happening, this happening. Oh, my. What an opportunity. That's why he said it. Oh, you got to, everything's falling apart. God's going to really move. Aren't you excited? You know, and I just, God, what are you talking about? See? But that you couldn't. I always loved to, and I'd tell him, you know, stuff. And him in particular, because he was just so immersed in the things of the Spirit, and so was she, you know. And I just loved this one, and I've shared it before. He goes, isn't Satan busy? I mean, he was like excited. Isn't Satan busy? Oh, you have such an opportunity to show God's power. You know, it's like, you know, what planet are you from? It's like, God is his portion. God is his portion. See? And that's what he's teaching us. He's teaching all of us. By the way, he's teaching, you know, some of us are in the first, some of us are in kindergarten, preschool, first grade, second grade, you know, some of us are in third grade, you know. So he continues to teach us. Some of us are virtual learning about now, you know, playing video games. So we graduate, you know, and God continues to reveal more to us as we graduate. But if we really graduate, get to the where we want to be, would be just like Jeremiah. And then he'd put us someplace just like where Jeremiah is. So our graduation is like, Lord, I don't know if I want to graduate. I'm having a blast in kindergarten. You know, I mean, I'm just, oh man, it's tough stuff you call these people to. You see what I'm saying? So there's an element of truth. Do you see what I'm saying? The element of truth there. So it's exactly the simple, the Lord is our portion. Okay, so I'm not going to be upset because the Lord is our portion. You summarize it with that. Now there's another fellow, and he kind of had the same deal as Jeremiah. And he was going, and so he's actually talking to God, which Jeremiah did, but he's actually talking to God, and he said, God, this whole thing is a mess, and it's not working out. That's basically what he said. It's just a mess, and it's not working out. So God talks to him. He said, listen, you know, and so here's his answer to God, and it's Habakkuk, okay? So he's in kind of the same shape as Jeremiah, because it's not happening the way he thought, and he basically said, listen, I'm your portion. I am good. My will, my timing, trust in me. Trust in me. Because I am your portion. Wait for me. And it's Habakkuk. And so Habakkuk gets it. He finally gets it. And so he speaks God. He speaks back to God. Habakkuk gets it, and he speaks back to God. And he says this. Habakkuk chapter 3. You can just listen to this, but Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 through 18. And he says, okay, God. All right, God. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will be joyful in God my Savior. That's it. That's what he said. That's what you're supposed to do. That's how you wait on the Lord. That's how you wait. Okay. I don't care what happens. My portion, a packet could have said, summarize that my portion is in you. Therefore, I rejoice in you. That's what he's saying. And so he's calling us all. He's telling us the same thing. So Habakkuk, in this prayer, Habakkuk accepts God's time, will, and purpose, and he waits. He accepts God's time, will, and purpose. Therefore, he waits. And if we disagree with God's time, God's will, and God's purpose, we don't wait. Don't want to wait. We complain. Now, I have one more here. I want to add this. This was, and I was reading through, and this popped up to me, and to me this was unbelievably insightful, and I share it with you, and I hope you will be encouraged by it, and it will be insightful. But God gives another, again, in the whole picture of God being our portion and waiting on him, and why we're waiting because we know he's good, his will and purpose and timing are good, so it's one word. He's good, so we agree with this. And so we see this same thing about waiting for him, and it summarizes in a different way. But Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8. Zephaniah, God has promised he's going to do some things. But this one verse stood out, and I thought it fit here. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8. And it says this, therefore, what? therefore, wait for me, declares the Lord. Why? He is good. His will, time, and purpose is good. Okay? Therefore, wait for me. What are we waiting for? Therefore, wait for me for the day when I rise up to testify. What are we waiting for? The day he rises up and testifies. Because we know it's good, his will, and his purpose, and timing, and we understand it, and we believe it, and he's our portion, and so we wait for him for the day when he rises up and testifies. Doesn't that kind of send chills up your back? That's what we're waiting on, for him. Now, we're trying to work it, and we're complaining. So, no, you wait, because you know what? I've told you, you know what's going on. You wait, because I will rise up and testify. Who brings all this about? Lord. He brings it about. God, you've given this vision. I'm going to do this. No, you had half that right. I've given you this vision, but you wait for me. Wait for me. Now, wait for me for the day when I rise up. And you'll notice I put the NIV verse there because it has different translations where it rise up to testify. Sometimes it means rise up and grab hold. Sometimes it means rise almost like attack, like a prey. But what it is God presenting himself. He presents himself. And so it's a testimony to God that he does. So what we're doing here, and I'm going to summarize it here, is like we wait for God to rise up and testify. Now, waiting, and here's a real important thing, we'll sum it up here. Waiting is active. See, we think waiting, you know, we'll sit in our living room, chair, and sit and wait, you know. But it's active. Waiting is active. And here's why. It says, waiting, we have to wait to see God do something. We have to first hear something. We have to hear from the Lord. We have to know there's a message from the Lord. And it's summarizing this. What does the Scripture say? Oh, I think God said this. Well, who knows? Maybe. But what does the Scripture say? If God's speaking, it's going to tie back into Scripture. If it's not consistent with Scripture, you're on thin ice. To say, wait for God. You need to, it has to tie back to Scripture. And when it ties back to Scripture, and you see that's God speaking to you based on Scripture, and you know how to act. So he can move in the Holy Spirit, but he'll move in the Holy Spirit, and he'll confirm in the Scripture. You with me? So why not? We're waiting for the Lord. It's based on Scripture. Based on Scripture. A lot of people waiting on stuff. It's not based on Scripture. It's not based on Scripture. Okay? Then the next, so now we first hear, then we act on what we hear. There's something that the Lord told us, so we can act on that. There'll be certain things we can do. We can do. And so we understand when God speaks to us, we have to be obedient. We have to be obedient, or the waiting is in vain. I want you to be a teacher. Okay, I'm going to just wait until you give me an opportunity to teach. Just wait. Just wait. And never worry. It's in vain. Why? Because you didn't take steps to study to show yourself approved to teach. You see what I'm saying? There's action. Like, no. So we must be obedient. Hear what the Lord has to say. But there'll be something of our responsibility in that. And he'll tell us what to do. And we have to do that and carry it out. He is our portion. And so we step in him as our portion. And we do what he tells us at that time. Then we wait. Then we wait. Okay? And we wait for God to move, and we wait for God to arise. And when we wait for God to move, we're waiting for God to arise and testify about what he has told us in Scripture. See, when he arises and moves, it's going to be based on what he said in Scripture. Oh, God did this, and I never knew it. This, well, he can do that. But it's not because it's something he told you. When he tells you something, when he arises as testified, he's going to speak to you something that's consistent with Scripture. He's not going to rewrite Scripture with you, you know, and add a book to the Bible, you know, so you can put some edits in. No, he's going to speak to you based on what he said in Scripture. So you'll know when he moves and testifies, you go, that's what he told me. It's based on Scripture. Amen? That's how you wait. Actively wait. When we wait for God, we're waiting for him to rise and testify to act. Now, however, and we'll go here, we'll wrap it up with here. However, we first must declare what we know, and that Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our portion. Don't expect to hear from God if God's not your portion. I just had this mist come over me, and I had this thing, and this voice said, it's like, okay, Satan's busy. Until you make Jesus your portion, you're not going to hear from God. It's got to be your portion. And so, and it's just like they knew from the early book of Acts. It's not too far after what Rich wrote, shared with us, Acts 4:12. There is salvation in no one else but Jesus, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Got to declare Jesus is our portion. Portion. And when they're a portion, then he'll start speaking to us based on Scripture. Somebody speaks to you not based on Scripture, discount it. Just discount it. Discount it. Got to be based on Scripture. It's got to fall back on Scripture. We're not writing new Scripture. All right? So, there's a lot of words that come from Scripture based on that that confirms with the Holy Spirit living within you. But hallelujah. So, now, aren't we fun? I'll be like Pastor Milliken. Isn't this fun? We get to wait. We get, here, God, we get to wait. And he's going to do, he's going to rise up. He's going to testify. I mean, to me, that's exciting. My goodness. He's going to rise up and he's going to testify. Praise Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I just thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your word. And Lord, I thank you. You look for Jeremiah and Habakkuk, you know, and they were going through times. They were distressed because they couldn't understand the times around them. And God came and spoke to them. But he didn't just speak to Jeremiah and Habakkuk. He's speaking to us. He's speaking to us. He says, I am continuing to speak to you. I am continuing to speak through the Scripture. I am continuing to show you truth. And that, Lord, he's going to move. He is going to, be assured, he is going to rise up and testify. No one in the world is going to be able to thwart what the God is doing. So we give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we can stand. I'm going to sing you a solo, but I decided not to. Okay. We stand. We have some refreshments in the back and visit someone you haven't met.